in the kingdom, he desired that he might obey Almighty God. And so they come up with a plan. And I want you to see several things in this treachery against Daniel. I want you to walk through these verses with me. And we begin in verse number 4 with research. They're going to research Daniel's life. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Okay, let's put this in perspective. He is over the 120. He is over the two. He answers only to the king. And 122 of these princes do not like Daniel. Imagine the first one that began that spirit of disunity against Daniel. And imagine how it was when they first said to another person, "Boy, I don't like our boss. Boy, I don't like how he oversees the kingdom. I don't like his allegiance to this God from back in Israel. I do not like this Daniel." Imagine that that word spreads then through others, and now we're fully involved and fully invested with 122, and they begin to do research as to what they can find against Daniel that they might remove him from the leadership in the kingdom. Now let's think about that for a moment. The Bible says here that they're looking for an occasion. And the Bible then says, but they could find none. Now I believe that if you and I were honest with one another this morning, I believe that it would take far less in number than 120, 122 to find occasion against any one of us. Would you be that honest with yourself? I would be forthright and honest before you right now. If 122 individuals were investigating my life, they would find occasion against me. If 10 were looking for occasion against me, if 1 were looking for occasion against me, but I would not have my wife involved in this planning, okay? I have 2 sons. Our 2 sons know me. And you probably could write a book on the occasions that they could list against me as their dad. Wouldn't be a surprise. But I want you to see the weight of this research that they're doing. The weight of this research, 122. And by the way, they're doing their very best to find any occasion against Daniel. Anything that they can lay at his account that they might be able to find fault with him, that he would have to be removed from the kingdom or from the leadership position. And look what the Bible says there in verse 4. They could find none. These are individuals that in all likelihood did not know Jehovah, didn't know that much about Jehovah. Individuals that have seen Daniel's life, that have watched Daniel's life, that have heard from Daniel's life. They've watched him in his comings and goings. They've watched him in his leadership. They've listened to his conversations. They've watched him as he oversees the lowest of the low in the kingdom, how he cares for individuals, how he oversees and watches out for others. And the Bible says they can find not one occasion against him. He's not stolen a paperclip. He's not cheated on his taxes. He's not lied to his boss about the time frame in which he came in. He's not punched the time clock for someone else. He has been an absolute honorable man in every area of his life. And though there are 122 looking for occasion, they cannot find it against Daniel. Now just think about that. This is a significant man in the scriptures. When you go and you study the life of Joseph, we find so much overlap in these two men, Daniel and Joseph, both taken from their homelands, taken into pagan cultures, and yet both of them rose because of God's Spirit working within them. Daniel and Joseph. In fact, as you and I read the scriptures, not one time do we find a blemish on either the character of Joseph or the character of Daniel. Two significant men in the scriptures. And though the unsaved crowd would want to find occasion against this man, they find none. This past Tuesday, I had the chance to be on Capitol Hill with a number of our local congressmen and then church folk and so forth that serve there as well. But as a part of the time on Tuesday, a senator's office worked it out for myself and another gentleman from our church and then another friend of ours to be able to sit in on the Senate vote for the lady that was going to lead the Department of Education. And so at noon on Tuesday, we were sitting there on the Senate floor as the vice president came in and cast the deciding vote. They came over to us ahead of time because they've seen me at basketball games. And they said, now, no matter how this turns out, you cannot speak, you cannot say anything, you can't be excited about the decision or against the decision, no protesting or anything like this. Again, they saw me coming, so they just made that special. They said, you could face arrest if you do this. And so we were all quiet and just watching and observing and everything like this. But I tell you what, here's an individual that has had all kinds of other people say all manner of things against them. In fact, that's what we're seeing now almost all the time in these nomination processes. I mean, they go back and find if you've ever had an animal that didn't have a dog license or a cat license, and they're researching it and finding out everything that there is to know, so that they can bring it up on the floor to have disagreement and everything like this. You see, you would not have to look back that far for me. And yet in Daniel's life, we see a man of such character and such integrity that as it stood with 122 individuals researching his life, the Bible comes back. And you can imagine as they meet back together and they say, okay, what did you find? I didn't find anything. What did you find? I didn't find anything. I mean, not a swear word. I mean, no evil jokes. I mean, no television shows that he watched that he shouldn't have watched. I mean, he hasn't written anything in a letter that he shouldn't have written. He hasn't talked about someone else behind their back and spread all kinds of vicious rumors. We don't find any of these things. Imagine the stark contrast that was there between his life and the lives of these 122. Yet the Bible says in all of their research, they could not find any occasion against him. So look at number two with me. After all of this research, the Bible then takes us to their resolve. In verse number 5, the Bible says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. Guys, we might as well give up. We're not going to find anything against him. He's going to be there forever. We don't have anything that we can pin on him. This is it. After all of this research, we find nothing. We find no fault in this man. He's a good man. He's an honorable man. He's a man of integrity. We've researched his life. We've looked at every jot and tittle, and we cannot find anything in his life. But they still have great resolve, and the Bible says, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. As they began to talk back and forth, and they find that there's not one area that they can lay at his account, they're determined. They have great resolve that they might put this man out of office, that they might do away with his influence over the king and over the kingdom. They said, if we're going to find anything against this man, it's going to be directly related to his relationship to God. Now, would you let the weight of that statement sink into your life this morning? If they're going to find any occasion against you and me, would it be directly related to the matter of our love and obedience for our God? Well, I tell you, I've watched that guy's life. I've been with him. I've walked with him, talked with him, lived with him. I've had an opportunity to travel at different times, and I don't normally go by myself. I'll normally take another guy with me or a couple of guys with me. And those guys have traveled with me in some very interesting places. We've been in the back of a pickup truck for 6 to 8 hours traveling on the roads in South Africa. We've slept in huts on the islands of the South Pacific. No electricity. We barely know what kind of food we're going to be eating. I've had a lot of private conversations with those kinds of individuals, these guys that have traveled and interacted. And I would say this morning, those guys know me very, very well. What would those individuals say about my life? Would they say the same thing about my life from what they know about me privately as what people would see in my life publicly? I think we can all become very good at separating out our lives and protecting what we do privately so that no one sees that when we put forth the show window. When we put on the set personality and the set type of clothing and we carry our Bible with us and we put forth the show window, is what is being said by that show window the same thing that is being said in the back of the pickup truck on a little two-lane road in the middle of Africa? Say, well, Pastor, I mean, I can't possibly be the same person. Well, let me ask you something this morning. Is it the same God that abides within you as the show window as it does in the privacy of your own life? Say, well, this is impossible, Pastor. It's impossible to have this kind of life. Well, then are we putting Daniel into a sinless category? Are we moving Daniel into a position of sinlessness? According to the Scriptures, we have all sinned. According to the Scriptures, we've all come short of the glory of God. We don't know the specifics of their failures, but Daniel and Joseph had to trust a Savior, just like every one of us. But when they had done the research in his life, they came to a conclusion that if they were going to find fault, that it would only be in one area. And their resolve drove them to that which mattered most in his life, and that was his relationship to his Heavenly Father. They had great resolve. They are determined to find something in his life. Which brings us to the result. Look what they do. In this treacherous story, in these treacherous moments, the Bible says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Look at these next words. And look at the first word of verse number 7. What's that little word right there? All. What's the problem with that word? They did not all agree, did they? There was one that was not included in that. His name was Daniel. But they make up this lie and they say, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, again, let's take in what we find here in these verses. They've done their research. They have no accusation that they can make against him. He has not had any shred of impropriety in his life. He's not said one thing against the king. He's not been found with guile in his mouth. He's been an honorable man, a man of integrity. And so even though 122 have investigated his life and done all that they can to find some occasion against him, that they might take before the king and say, "See, king, we should not have this man in this position." They have come to the conclusion there's not one thing against his life except we find it concerning the law of his God. And so with great resolve, they determined we are going to bring down this man. And listen to this, folks. They have such great confidence that they attack Daniel in this area of his relationship to his heavenly Father. And they come up with this plan. They contrive this statute that the king might think is meant to honor him. Not even contemplating the fact that Daniel will be a part of this decision. We ask you, king, verse number 7, make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Okay, let's look at the facts of that verse. Number one, they knew it would not take 30 days. You're going to see that in the coming verses. It doesn't even take 30 minutes after the decree is signed. Now, we don't know the exact amount of time, but it's no time at all. Because they knew that he would abide by the law of his God and not by the law of man. But then look at this. They've already master planned the result. We're going to throw him in the den of lions. We already have the result. We've got it all mapped out. We already have the punishment. And they're not worried about cruel and unusual, are they? Can you imagine what it would be like to be cast into the den of lions? Now, we're going to see how that can end up here in the end of this chapter. It doesn't go so well. After all of their exhaustive research, they find that they will not be able to find occasion against him unless they make a new law, and that law is a dividing line between Daniel and Jehovah. Let me ask you this question. If man makes up a law to divide you from your heavenly Father, what will you do? What will I do? I wish this morning that we had a legislative body in Washington in which every representative knew Christ as their Savior, and every senator knew Christ as their Savior. I wish that we had a Supreme Court in which every one of them knew Christ as their Savior. I wish that I could tell you this morning that everyone in the executive branch knows Christ as their Savior, not just claiming it, but actually knowing it. I wish that I could declare to you, yes, everyone in the leadership of our country is saved. I cannot declare that to you this morning, and so therefore I must acknowledge these facts. There are many that have motivations against Bible-believing Christians that are in high positions in our country today. At the drop of a hat, they would make laws that go against Bible-believing Christianity. They do not want this book in existence. They do not want this book in influence over the lives of other individuals. They do not want the preaching of the Word of God to go forth in all kinds of media outlets and all kinds of settings. No, they would absolutely close down Bible-believing Christianity as quickly as they could. So let me ask you again this morning, what law could they pass in which you would allow it to divide you and your Heavenly Father? Boy, when I begin to ask that question about the leadership of our two sons, is my wife and I and our conscience together as the parents of two young people, are there laws that they could pass in this country that could divide me between my Heavenly Father and the conscience that God has given to me to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are there laws that they could pass that they would say to a pastor, you can no longer do thus and so, you can no longer say thus and so, and I would be willing to sacrifice my relationship to him that I might get along with them? Well, you recognize the weight of this chapter. They went right to the heart of his life. And the heart of his life was his relationship to his Heavenly Father. And they knew they could find no occasion, no guile, no lack of integrity, no hidden sin that's just not before men, no cheating in some area of life, no lying, no dishonor in his life. But they knew if we make a law, and it could be passed, and he can no longer pray to his Heavenly Father, we know that he will violate that and remain true to his God. So in closing, I ask you and I ask me this morning, is our relationship to our Heavenly Father that significant? As we go through these verses this morning, as you look at your life and you look at not just what people see in the show window, but what God knows in the hidden parts of your life, what God knows in those hidden recesses of your life, do they match up? If individuals started investigating your life, would it be a very quick investigation and they'd come back and they'd say, hey, we find fault. And then this morning, folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you have such a relationship with Him? Have you come to that settled conviction that you will obey Him, even if it means disobedience to man? Pastor, can't we all just get along? Folks, we live in much the same day as Daniel. A pagan culture. More and more the tide is turning against Bible Christianity. And as that continues to happen and the media goes a direction, entertainment goes a direction, I tell you what, they want less and less to do with the Word of God because the Word of God is what is preaching to the heart of their convicting influence. And I'm praying for a people that will say, I will obey God, let come what may. As you consider your life this morning, is there occasion? Do the co-workers in your workplace have occasion against you? Do they have things to lay at your feet? How important, how significant is your relationship with Almighty God and your obedience to Him? Let come what may. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the opportunity to walk through these verses. The testimony of Daniel is revealed there in verses 1 through 3. And that is the entire source of the treachery then. They are determined to find fault against Daniel. It's possible in a crowd this size and the myriad of different types of employment that we have represented here in the service this morning, it is entirely possible that there are people right now that are in a workplace in which the prevailing winds are against Bible Christianity. And maybe there's a believer that sits before me today that is ascending through the ranks because of their excellent spirit, and right now there are forces at work that would want to undermine and destroy their testimony, and those forces will do anything that they can do. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll do whatever they can to destroy the influence of the Christian. And I pray that you'd help our people to remain honorable. Our people would be people of integrity. Folks would have to search long and hard to find occasion in our life in which we've said things that are not right or done things that are not right. I pray that what people see in our lives here on Sunday mornings would be the same thing that they would see in our lives Monday through Saturday. I know the common thought. I know the nature of the common thought of the hypocrisy that could abound. I pray that we would prove ourselves as honorable people. Lord, if the time comes that laws are passed that are contrary to the Scriptures, I pray that we would, with great resolve, stand with the men and women of antiquity, that we would stand and declare that we ought to obey God rather than man. It may cost us. Now, we know the end of this chapter. We know, in fact, that Daniel is sent to the lion's den. We know that he is delivered. But as we're reading through these verses, Daniel does right in spite of all these other things. And I pray that we would be determined to stand.